football on off the ball.
Mulroney's been nowhere near it. You just look at some of his interviews. He's talking about, I'm starting to catch fire now. I'm starting to feel good again. You know, it's July. Like, what?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.
Welcome back. St. Pat's versus Besiktas kicking off at 7:45. We've got full live match commentary here on Off the Ball this evening with Nathan Murphy and Vinnie Perth at Talas Stadium. Stephen Doyle has joined us in studio. Evening, Steve-o.
Good evening, y'all.
And Cameron Hill is here for tonight's news round as well. Cameron, where do you want to kick things off?
Well, we'll kick things off with what's happening across the League of Ireland clubs in Europe this evening, Owen, because two big ties tonight. As you mentioned, a tough assignment awaiting St. Pat's and Stephen Kenny's side in their Conference League qualifier. Talas Stadium, the venue, as the Saints face a third round first leg against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer's Besiktas. So Tottenham bound striker Mason Melia starts for St. Pat's tonight, and Solskjaer believes he has what it takes to play in the Premier League.
Well, when you perform at that level at 17, definitely, of course. You see a mature finisher, good finisher, his movement, the goal he scored against Waterford now. The way he spun off his the centre-back, the way he starts, timed his run. Of course, I don't want to put too much pressure on him. And of course, it's one that I'll follow because I always follow the young players that when you see them early, you follow their careers. So, and I've got a few decent players that I played with from Ireland. So I've got a fond eye for Irish players. He's a proper number nine. He can play off the shoulder, he can link, very good at link-up play, coming short as well. As I said, good finisher. So he's got the world ahead of him. I'm sure he'll have a very good career. So wish him all the best from after the 8-9 days from now, then we wish him all the best.
Fan of the hashtag best league in the world, clearly, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer.
Greatest league in the world.
Greatest league in the world, of course.
As you are. Joe, something I thought, I loved listening to Solskjaer talking about Mason Melia there, because like as we all know, he is only 17. So much, you wouldn't say pressure on his shoulders, but I think he's going to be well able to handle it. He comes from, you know, footballing stock. His uncle is Clive Clark, and he's looking after him age and wise. But it was interesting to listen to Solskjaer, who would know a thing or two about movement as a striker playing in the Premier League, and just talking about Mason Melia's movement. And you'll hear some people, naysayers, kind of saying, oh, what's the big thing about this fella? Like, he's not. I remember we covered one of the games against Shelburne at Talca Park. Mason Melia scored in that game. And the minute I heard Solskjaer talking about Mason Melia and his talent and his movement, that's the goal I thought about. Spinning off a defender, getting a turn in the box and finishing into the bottom corner.
Yeah.
And I remember I was commentating the goal, and I just remember I watched it a couple of times after the match and just thinking, and look, you know, we're lucky enough to go over and cover live games in the Premier League every Sunday. Like that game, that looked to me like the goal of a Premier League player. I've seen Premier League players doing what Mason Melia did there, and that's exactly what Solskjaer, that kind of what he was trying to get across there. And you know, you don't want to put too much pressure on young shoulders, but the fella has talent, and if he can bring that to Tottenham Hotspur, I think he's going to have a lot of success in the Premier League.
It's not the only Irish club in action this evening, Cameron. We're about 8 minutes from kickoff in the Shamrock Rovers game.
Yes, indeed. They are in Kosovo this evening and missing a number of players through injury for tonight's first leg against Balkany. So the likes of Graham Burke, Jack Byrne and Aaron McAniff among those to have been left at home by manager Stephen Bradley. He says they're still chasing a win in Pristina this evening.
Look, a good result is going through on the tie. That's the end goal. But we're make no mistake about it. We're coming here to win the game. Can we do that? Win all tomorrow night, but that's the end. Can we come here and win the game? If not, we know we've got the second leg in Tala next week. But it's gonna be a difficult tie. We know that they've got some good players. But like I said, our aim is to make sure we're in the hat in the next round.
Yeah, obviously a few injuries for Shamrock Rovers going into this game. You still give them every chance of progressing, Steve-O?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, they've got a strong team, Rovers. They've got a strong squad, and missing one or two players, like they've already had to do without Aaron McInniff for quite a bit. Jack Byrne has had his injury problems. Like, it's a couple of players who have been regularly on the sidelines for them, but yet they still can put out a good team and still have a good bench as well. A couple of the young players have gained like brilliant experience playing the Premier Division this season, and when you've got Danny Mandroia playing just off Rory Gaffney up front, like you've got a bit to score goals there. Like, Gaffney was brilliant at the weekend against Derry City, got a couple of goals. He looks like he's kind of fully match sharp once again, and that experience that he has as a player of his age. But then again, they've got legs down the wings with Honohan and with Danny Grant as well. But look, as Bradley said, I actually think it is a really tough tie for Shamrock Rovers. Like, Balkany have been in the Conference League group stage a couple of times now. They knocked Cluj out a couple of seasons ago, decent Romanian side, and Sivasspor from Turkey. So it is a tough tie for them. But, you know, playing away in the first leg, at home the second leg, probably works out well for Shamrock Rovers, I think.
Yes, so as I say, 7:30 is kickoff time there in Kosovo. So we'll keep you up to speed on that, as well as our full live match commentary from 7:45 in Tala. Now, it's been another busy day in terms of transfers, Cameron.
Very busy day, Owen. So Benjamin Šeško is expected to have a medical at Manchester United within the next 48 hours. That's after they've agreed a deal in principle to sign the striker from RB Leipzig for just over €85 million. Šeško scored 21 goals for the Bundesliga club last term, while Liverpool striker Darwin Nunez is now expected to undergo a medical ahead of his move to the Saudi Pro League. Al Hilal have agreed an initial €53 million deal with the Premier League champions for the Uruguay international. It's thought that the sale of Nunez would financially boost the Reds' chance of signing Newcastle striker Alexander Isak in this transfer window. And Spanish club Villarreal have completed the signing of Thomas Partey today. The Ghana international left Arsenal following the expiry of his contract and joins the La Liga outfit on a one-year deal. Partey was granted bail this week as he awaits trial in the UK for 5 counts of rape and 1 count of sexual assault. Villarreal fans signed a petition urging the club against signing Partey and avoiding what they described as the darkest day in the club's history.
La Liga clubs doing it again. The Villarreal statement, did you see this earlier on?
I haven't actually seen their full statement. No.
So what is it? 5 paragraphs here. First paragraph releases the facts. You know, Villarreal, CF and Thomas Partey have reached an agreement. Second paragraph, Thomas Partey is a complete midfielder with great stamina and exceptional physical attributes. He's an excellent ball winner and has the ability to start moves from deep. The African footballer also boasts a good shot from mid-range and has the ability to break lines when driving forward. Third paragraph, the experienced Ghanaian midfielder has earned more than 50 caps for his national team. He's also represented Arsenal and lists off a couple of other clubs and lists off his honours. And then in the fourth paragraph, on the other hand, the club is also aware, I'm not sure what on the other hand means, if like they have taken into account the other hand. The club is also aware that the player is currently involved in legal proceedings in England and details some of the language you would expect to hear from a statement of this kind. And then the final paragraph, which is the real kicker, Villarreal CF wishes to clearly reiterate its strong commitment to respecting diversity and firmly condemns any acts of violence in all its forms, including gender-based violence, discrimination, racism, xenophobia, or any behaviour that undermines the dignity of individuals. So nothing to see here, say Villarreal. And to be fair, not the only club who have a lot to answer in this as well. I don't think this is over for Arsenal, nor should it be.
No, absolutely not. It definitely shouldn't. I think Mikel Arteta should have his feet held to the flame whenever the chance arises this season by journalists covering that beat next season or the coming season. And, you know, my thoughts will be with the alleged victims of Thomas Partey reading that statement from Villarreal, because I'd imagine they would feel really at best disappointed, but at worst pretty traumatised reading that.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things on a journey through Latin America.
I'm nervous and police will use tear gas.
Yes, yes, yes.
Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
Diverted has been named among Apple Podcasts' best so far list of 2025.
We were
on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted. All 10 parts are available now for free via Apple Podcasts.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. It turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
We have news as well, Cameron, from the other side of North London. I think Tottenham are playing at the moment in a pre-season friendly, but it's bad news for James Maddison.
Yeah, they've confirmed the midfielder Maddison will miss most of next season after suffering an ACL injury. The 28-year-old was forced off during a pre-season friendly against Newcastle in South Korea last weekend. He'll have surgery in the next few days, the club confirmed today, before beginning a recovery programme. And one other story to bring you from the London clubs, West Ham have confirmed that Mikel Antonio will leave the club following the expiration of his contract. He made 323 appearances during 10 years in London after joining from Nottingham Forest in 2015. He also helped end their 43-year wait, for a major trophy when they won the Conference League back in 2023. The 35-year-old did not make another appearance at senior level for West Ham following the horrific car crash in December that nearly cost him his life.
Yeah, they have now finished playing Tottenham Hotspur against Bayern Munich. They were beaten 4-0 in a friendly, but who cares about friendlies? The Ballon d'Or shortlist.
Yeah, Scotland and Napoli star Scott McTominay among the 30 strong shortlist for the men's Ballon d'Or. Jude Bellingham, Cole Palmer, Harry Kane and Declan Rice also on the shortlist for the best men's player in the world, while several of England's Euro 2025 winning squad have been nominated for the women's award.
Who's got it, Steve-O?
Well, I don't really care about this year's Ballon d'Or, to be honest, Owen, but what I would take from that is that
Waiting for Evan Ferguson
to Serie A,
win Europa League and get in.
Get in there, boost your numbers, do a lot of good business on the pitch, off the pitch, and all of a sudden become a hero of one of the great Italian cities and find yourself on the nominee list for Ballon d'Or. And I just wonder, will we see Evan Ferguson playing for Roma next season with Rio Ferdinand shouting over Ballon d'Or, Ballon d'Or, Ballon d'Or.
30 times to complete your shortlist. You said there was an emphasis on the this year about your lack of interest in the Ballon d'Or. Is there something about the 2025 list compared to previous years, or is it a general thing for you?
It's just the whole thing. Just listen, I think Messi and Ronaldo have just completely ruined the whole thing. Like it was good when it was just a independent France football kind of award where it did feel that there was a lot of thought and expertise and all that kind of stuff brought to the whole process. Whereas now it's just a complete farce, isn't it, really? It's just, and the fact that Messi and Ronaldo kept winning, even though there was years where other players probably should have won instead of them, like the likes of Xavi and Iniesta probably missed out on a Ballon d'Or or two. Did Modric get done out of it one year?
No, but he did win it eventually.
He did win it eventually, yeah. But there's been years like that where it's just, the whole thing is just a joke now. Like it's and the FIFA Best Award, like it's just, yeah. No, but Ferdinand was a little niche thing where you felt that the player who got it really, really deserved it. Mm.
Yeah, it's Ballon d'Or ain't what it used to be, says Steve-O.
Yeah, I liked its earlier stuff, yeah. Steve-O.
Shall we move on to the rugby? A potentially very interesting debut for Ireland this Saturday.
Yeah, former England prop Elle Perry could make her Ireland debut after being named on the bench for Saturday's World Cup warm-up match against Canada in Belfast. So the Gloucester Hartbury prop was capped 11 times by England but became eligible having not played international rugby for 3 years. She qualifies to play for Ireland through her maternal grandfather. Head coach Scott Beaman explained why he's added Perry to his front row options ahead of the World Cup.
With Christy picking up the hamstring niggle, we needed to bring in and supplement front row. So actually everything has been done well, in my opinion. In terms of the playing group, she's known to a good few of our group. So actually transitioning in terms of the block that we've gone through, it's been a pre-season block. So people coming in and getting touch points within pre-season blocks is actually a really healthy point to enter. It gives people time to acclimatise. It gives people time to understand what the culture is of the group. It's not just an on-pitch piece. There's an off-piece culture where people are like to be themselves and add to our wave. So she's been able to do that. Another example might be a Nancy McGivory from last week, who's come in and added an enormous amount. So a little bit of experience. She's played with a good few of the players. Other players have got to know, and it's brought just that little bit of energy when you're sort of getting through your pre-season bits.
Yeah, so a couple of very high-profile injuries for this Ireland squad ahead of the World Cup. And then they've plucked a couple of new players as well, Steve-O. So they've undone some of the damage to the depth, albeit in different positions.
Yeah, like, listen... Elena hasn't played since 2020, and within the rules, she's well within her rights to declare for Ireland. Once you haven't played international rugby for 3 years for your previous nation, you're free to play for a different country. She qualifies through a maternal grandfather, so it's all within the rules. But like, for me anyway, I think the whole point of a World Cup in football, rugby, whatever the case may be, it's you pick your best players that you have available to you and send them out to play the best players from every other country. And, you know, it's not like she played a couple of friendlies and decided, oh, I want to play for Ireland instead, actually, because my heart is with Ireland. She's got 11 caps for England. Like, 11 caps. That's a fair chunk of your international career. And I think switching like this is just a bit... doesn't sit well with me.
Can your heart not be in two different places? Can you not be a little bit English, a little bit Irish? Like, say if for whatever reason the aliens from Space Jam came and took Declan Rice's talent and all of a sudden he's not good enough to play for England, and after, say if the rugby rules applied to football and Declan Rice after 3 years of not playing international football anymore was then like, okay, you're available to play for the Republic of Ireland. Would you accept them?
Let's not dredge up the Rice thing again.
Okay, maybe not right, but a footballer, if it was a footballer's case...
No, like I think if you've played 11 times for one country, that's where your heart is.
Do you think the rugby rules are ridiculous, basically?
Well, it is nonsense. It is nonsense. I know they've changed it now and we're going to see less of this, but still, I still believe if you've earned 10 or 11 caps, 5 caps for another country, that's it. Your international career is done unless you're going to get capped by that country again.
I would say that it's the Irish women's team is a particularly interesting case in this regard, in the rugby sense, because when it started, I know we're planning on speaking to a couple of players who were involved in the early days of Irish women's rugby in the early 90s. And the English players who came over and represented Ireland, that was the bulk of the players who came over. There's a argument to be made that Irish women's rugby mightn't have gotten off the ground if a lot of those English-based players hadn't come over in the first place. So I know this is a different case and we're at a different point in history, and there is an undercurrent of a thriving scene here in Ireland. But I would just add that to the mix in terms of consideration.
Yeah. Props don't grow on trees.
Yeah. And look, I don't, this isn't an anti-English thing. I don't care what country the person has played for. It's just, it makes a mockery of international sport if you've got somebody who's played 11 times for one country going to play for another country. It's just... I cannot take that seriously. You know, it really is ridiculous.
She was on a break from international rugby
So
the Englishness has been washed out of her. I have lots of sympathy for the dual nationality approach to things, but whether or not you should be allowed to play for another country after 11 caps, I take your point on that. Obviously, I'm going to put on the green tinted spectacles and be like, this is absolutely exactly how it should be done.
God, he's got his jersey coming, Harry on the back.
Bolsters Ireland's chances for this World Cup, so all on board with it. Nick White, we are going to see him on a pitch again, it turns out, for Australia.
It's not done yet, Owen. So he's done a U-turn on his decision to retire. He's been called up to the squad for the upcoming Rugby Championship doubleheader with South Africa. So the 35-year-old played the third test against the Lions in Sydney last Saturday, which they won, in what was believed to have been his final game for the Wallabies. But an injury crisis among Joe Schmidt's squad has forced him to delay his retirement. They kick off their campaign against the Springboks at Ellis Park on Saturday week. So the Springboks could be in for a tough afternoon if Nick White is in there causing trouble.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the rugby world is a better place with Nick White in it.
And Nick White's moustache.
Yeah, and him stirring the pot nicely as he did last Saturday. Cameron, thank you for that. The News Round has been with UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action. Hopeful for tonight for Pat. Steve-O, give us a quick prediction.
I think they could do something tonight. Yeah, maybe we say 2-2.
2-2. That'd be an excellent result. Well, we will find out. The first half at Palace Stadium is coming up after the break, where Vinnie Perth and Nathan Murphy will be calling Pats versus Besiktas. Back in a few.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With UPMC Sports Surgery Clinic. When things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
This is News Talk.